Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, LaFiggy Fig, hanging out with you on a Tuesday. Happy Earth Day to you. A lot of things happening in the world of sports, including a lot of Texans players being made available to the media, including also a man who's on the program as C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but he says that people only refer to him as CD or 8. And to that point, John Metchie gonna have to come off that number.
He said so. He said, I think he said, quote, jokingly, but behind every joke, there's a little bit of a nugget of truth.
Yeah, and
you
that's the thing.
You think he will, though? You think he will?
Who, Metchie?
Yeah, come off that number.
I'm wondering, man.
Because if Brevin Jordan was coming off his number.
Yeah, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson wasn't asking. And he's a bad dude.
Yeah. Because we talked about this.
Remember?
We thought that. And then I think we looked at all the numbers he had.
Yeah, that's what I was like. He's changed numbers a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know that he's making so much money that's like, yeah, you know, we'll just trick off a little bit of money to make sure I get my number.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe, I guess it's all about want to. And it seems like he kind of really do want that 8. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that ultimately goes. We'll dig into some of the things that the fellas have said throughout the day. Probably tomorrow we'll get more into it. But I do want to go back a day. CJ Stroud. There's a lot of CJs. There's a lot of CJs. A lot of Nikos. There's a lot of places that get you caught up with these Texans. But obviously, a lot of unique, interesting dudes. But CJ Stroud specifically was talking yesterday, as was Will Anderson Jr. And we talked a little bit about the ways in which he's kind of hipped us the game on the way that the offense is going to work. But also, the offensive line is a huge part of it. That's been the talk of the offseason for this Texans team. And so I found it very interesting, C.J. Stroud, when we got an opportunity to hear from him, especially as he's been very quiet this offseason as opposed to the offseason prior. This is C.J. Stroud talking about the changes to the offensive line.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting, you know. It's something that I've learned as Lee. You don't ever get comfortable, you know. Just you got to be able to adapt and change and upgrade, you know. Like every year the iPhone upgrades, you know, you got to be able to upgrade like that. So that's something that I think that we'll do. Personally, you know, for me, myself, that's a goal of mine, is to get better in things that I need to get better in, also, you know, polish those things that I'm good at. But yeah, it's exciting having new guys, you know, different, everybody's different. So new personalities, new mindsets, you know, and just really, having one common goal and the same, the same goals, I think at the end of the day is what creates that, that winning, program and that winning tenacity that we are looking for. So,
first of all, some of us don't upgrade our iPhone every year, I get your point. And
that's a good point.
He's like, you know, there's a new phone every year, you got to upgrade. Well, not all of us.
Are you a 2 or 3 year? I feel like that's probably those are the most common.
Whenever the contract's up, whenever the phone's paid off.
Oh, he does the contract.
Yeah, whenever the phone's paid off, I get a new one.
Okay.
Usually 2 years, right?
All right.
Like usually.
Yeah, I think that's usually it.
About 2 years.
All right.
Then I'm in on the new phone. Sometimes longer, depending on.
I'm surprised they still do contracts.
That's what I was.
Yeah.
That's that grandfather plan in.
No, man.
He's had this plan since 1998.
And
a lot of these.
Why would anyone change that?
But see, a lot of these phone companies be like, no contract. That's their advertisement.
No contract. It's a good thing. It's a good thing because then all of a sudden you don't have to pay for the phone as much and all that. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Is it?
offensive line for him. Now, I know he also said, you know, he's going to miss those guys, Shaq and Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah.
But I will say what we talked about earlier. I mean, C.J. Stroud got what he wanted, and not only that, he got what he needed. You know, they couldn't with a straight face, no matter what D'Amico Ryan says. Or was it Nick Caserio said, oh, we'd have been fine coming back with
this. That was Nick Caserio.
Yeah. They would have been, no matter what they say, they could not with a straight face go into the 2025 season with the same offensive line. And C.J. Stroud knew it. C.J. Stroud, it seems apparent now.
Did he know it?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Well, I take you to C.J. Stroud 6 here.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by the changes to the offensive line?
I mean, that's something I feel, you know, is not my pay grade. You know, it's just I'm just a quarterback. But at the same time, you know, it's, you build relationships with guys. And, you know, your LT, of course, who I know you're talking about, and Shaq, you know, those are two of my best friends. So that I've come into the league with. So, yeah, it hurts. You know what I mean? It's, and, you know, our front office knows that, and they know how I felt about it. And but I totally understand, and I'm not against it at all. I totally think that we're heading to the right side of things. And, you know, I think something I learned about Nick is that he has a plan. No matter what happens, he always has something up his sleeve. So, of course, sometimes we don't know what that is, and but you just have to have trust, and that's something that I've – there's, you know, we actually talked about today, having blind trust and, you know, having earned trust. And for Nick, I mean, he's gained my trust in both areas. So I'm excited, but, you know, I'm always going to be best friends with those guys and rooting them on, and, you know, I still talk to them daily. So
no, he knew it.
I don't think he did. The way that he said
He flat out said it.
Well, no, I think you heard it correctly.
Let's hear the back end of this again.
You got to hear.
Flat out said it. Just because something hurts doesn't mean he didn't think it had to happen.
Let's play the whole thing.
The whole thing?
I want you to pay attention to this very carefully.
Right, I'll point you to the place I stake my claim
on. I think
here.
He flat out said, it hurts, but it had to happen.
I mean, that's something I feel, you know, is not my pay grade. You know, it's just just a quarterback, but at the same time, you know, it's, you build relationships with guys, and, you know, your LT, of course, who I know you're talking about, and Shaq, you know, those are two of my best friends, so that I've come into the league with. So, yeah, it hurts, you know what I mean? It's, and, you know, our front office knows that, and they know how I felt about it, and but I totally understand. And
Press pause. Front office knows how I felt about it, but I totally understand.
That's the part that kind of got me, too.
Hold on. Now play the rest.
No, I know. I wanted to make sure you heard the point.
I heard that.
Lopez wanted to erase all of that stuff.
No. Keep it all. Keep all that. In fact, go back again.
We're not going back a third time.
No, keep it all.
We're not funk flexing this.
He says it hurts.
I'm going to keep.
I totally understand. But let's keep the whole context here.
Okay.
Not against it at all. I totally think that we're heading to the right.
I'm not against it at all. We're headed to the right thing.
You know, I think something I learned about Nick is,
what are we missing here?
No,
look. I'm not against it at all. We're headed to the right thing.
Wait, so what was your point? I mean, what was
I said that he knew there's no way they could have gone, and the Texans knew there's no way they could have gone into next season with the same offensive line. He just said it.
I
feel like you're saying something different.
Let's take it literally.
Front office knows that, and they know how I felt about it. And but I totally understand, and I'm not against it at all.
I'm not against it. Now play the rest.
I think that we're heading to the right side of things. And
thank you.
You know, I think.
Where is their vagary there?
It sounds like he's saying he's not against the move. They're making the move.
Exactly. That's exactly what he's saying.
But he also said they know how I felt about that.
Okay. No. That's what I'm saying. I think you're missing my bigger point. Just because something hurts doesn't mean that it's not what you really know needs to happen. And that's what he literally just said.
I understand where you're coming from. I want you to understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And that's that. After that, he then talks about like how he, you know, it's about trust, right? And as opposed, like, blind trust and gain trust is ultimately what he landed on. And he's operating on gain trust. When do you have to lean on trust? When maybe you had a little bit of a difference in opinion. I think we're probably making a bigger conversation out of something that was a smaller disagreement.
But my bigger point is here, he knows they had to do this. He said it.
It sounds like he understand why they had to do it.
That's the first thing he said. Yeah, but again, after that he said,
it seemed like he's saying, I felt a different way, but I get it.
What part of we're headed in the right direction is hard to understand?
I think that is a man who's going to be on the company line. But I found it interesting that at least in the smallest sense, that it seems like there was a little bit of trepidation about the way that this goes. And I wonder how, and I mean, look, the idea, he's going to get in a place where we're going to try and make this work in whatever situation that we have. And I think that's how he wanted to be. I think that on top of this, like, there is room to ask, like, have they done enough on this offensive line with what's happening there, and what then could be continue to be done to make sure this offensive line is better? Ultimately, he's going to want to get to a place where, you know, they're going to be better, right? This is the time of year where hope springs eternal no matter what. Going into the draft, into the offseason, you know, everybody's 0-0, all of that. I still think that it does seem like there was a little bit of like, all right, I'm just going to trust you, Nick, and that feels like a little bit of an acknowledgement that this – this was an unorthodox offseason when it comes to the offensive line, especially for me, at least, not speaking about CJ or anyone else, with the way that they handle this, where you go and obviously you move on from Laremy Tunsil, a move that I'm not going to be upset about, but the corresponding moves have not been ones that have necessarily wowed me when it comes to what you're going to put on the field.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's kind of coming across as like the guy looking at it more as a friendship brotherhood thing rather than you know, the business part of it, because he did say multiple times like, that's my brothers for life and all his other stuff. So I wonder if he was kind of like, I'm not sure, but maybe he was a little bit upset because that's my brothers and we want to get through it with it, but I also understand it's a business and we got to be better.
I think he did say that, and I think you're 100% right. It, you know, they are going to be his, quote, brothers, and he understands that it's a business. But I don't think you can – I don't think there's any gray area with what his takeaway point was there. We had to do it, and we're going in a better direction. I mean, that's almost impossible not to see a particular
it's,
way.
It's funny you kind of took it that. Yeah. I took it as him being like a company guy, like just not really leaning either way. It seemed like he was kind of in the middle a little bit, like they know how I felt about it, but I know we're going in a good direction and those are my brothers, but I know we got to be.
But let's also remember this. We know he was frustrated last year.
He was.
There's no question about that.
Yeah, 100%.
So if he was frustrated, it wasn't with the receivers.
Well, one of the things that it seems like he was frustrated with was the inability of like being able to do his own thing, as we were talking about earlier. It might be worth playing once again. This is CJ Stroud 13 on how he feels about the offensive scheme that Nick Haley's bringing in.
I mean, he comes from LA and New England, and you know, he's gonna bring some of that swag over here. So, you know, that kind of is what I'm used to, is, you know, taking control and, you know, being a little more pre-snap, you know, having tools to put my guys in the best position. And that's, you know, something that we really didn't work on these last 2 years, but even those principles I learned from, and it made me better because it added a new element to my game. So you know, be able to, you know, just get better and learn from, you know, what he did with, you know, New England and LA would definitely help me, because I feel, you know, those are two schemes that I'm, you know, kind of used to, in a sense. Like, that's kind of what I ran and out of Ohio State, what kind of New Orleans does a little bit, and in LA, you know, it's kind of what we ran here these last 2 years. So I'll be able to, you know, put my swag on it and have fun with it. And, you know, he's all about, you know, me taking full ownership and running the show, and that's what I want. So, you know, I'm gonna get what I want, and that's really been really cool just to see that he's like bought into me, and he doesn't really know me well yet. So, you know, he talked about today having blind trust, and you know, I have a lot of trust in him already. Just how he talks and, you know, how he presents in the room and things like that is really cool to see.
And that's the bigger thing. That's the biggest thing. It's by far the biggest thing. He's going to have total control. He's going to have the ability to do things on the line of scrimmage that he just didn't have control of last year. And if you're going to go out on your shield, you know, be the one that has control of how things play out.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest, most encouraging portion of this. And I mean, I think that it came across very strong, the comfort that it seems like he has early on with Nick Haley and what their plan is. I still don't know that we have a lot of insight into it, but it is encouraging that you're going to have a quarterback who is going to be able to step fully into that space that you anticipate quarterbacks to get to, the best ones in the league, as they progress, right? Early on, it's reasonable to expect your coordinator, your coach, to have a little bit more of what's happening here as you're bringing quarterback along on the steep learning curve that is transitioning to the National Football League, right? Cam Ward is going to have to deal with this when he steps in, I think we imagine, to the Titans offense. And now you're dealing with dudes that are moving a lot faster, and you're dealing with concepts that in theory could be strong or, you know, different than and maybe more advanced than what you saw in the college landscape. Maybe that might be overstated, as we've seen a lot more of the college concepts filter into the NFL. But you get generally what I'm saying. Like, there is a learning curve. But as you get steeped in the game that is the NFL as a quarterback, especially if you're one of the better ones in the league, you're going to get to a point where, yeah, you want to have more opportunity to dictate what you're seeing on the field.
My terms.
And utilize the tools that are available to you, having the best seat on the field, being right there in the middle of it and being able to dictate or see, hey, what's the defense doing, and putting the guy, like, play the chess match that the great quarterbacks that have. And if you view C.J. Stroud as the possibly great quarterback, you want to give him that tool. And it seems like Nick Caley's going to give him that tool.
At minimum, he is your franchise. Why would you trust anyone but the franchise at the line of scrimmage when he's in the breach of everything?
Yeah. One more before I go. C.J. Stroud talking about the new wide receiver that he has, Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I'm excited, you know, to be able to play against him. You know, last 2 years, he's, you know, somebody that, you know, you definitely got to prepare for if you're playing against him now. You know, it's the other side where, you know, we get to work together. You know, somebody who I've heard amazing things, you know, Mikado being from Texas A&M, you know, and being with him there, say, you know, that he's a great person. That's all I've seen, you know, being on the phone with him, texting him, you know, now meeting him in person for the first time, other than, you know, being opponents. But, yeah, man, he brings a tenacity, a raw ability just to run routes, feel the game, run after catch. I think he's a very polished route runner and a leader, which is something that, I'm very excited to work with him about.
Look, yeah, you know, and that's where you have to go back to what they really need to do is all about C.J. Stroud. They said it in the postseason, you know, sort of walk-away press conferences. They got to protect him. DeMeco said it. Nick said it. They also have to, you know, give him the weapons, and that's where, you know, Christian Kirk comes in, and I think another wide receiver comes in.
Yeah, we'll be interesting. Somebody said new drinking game every time CJ says, you know, you take a shot. Hey, I mean, we all have our fillers, right? That's where it gets really tough, is when somebody points out your filler, and then it becomes
everybody has
it becomes very obvious and evident to you every time you say it, and it just becomes annoying in your head, and you try and fight it, and the more that you try and fight it, the more that the filler comes up.
Remember Casario's right?
Oh man,
ooh, that's tough.
That was the worst.
What's the worst filler that you've like dealt with somebody?
Well, I'm proud of Casario. He got rid of it. You know, he used to answer.
I feel like he totally stopped it.
He ended every question with right, 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 and it got, and we had fun with it, of course. But he's like, done. I'm not doing that anymore. We all have that stuff.
Yeah,
I feel like I've dealt with somebody who had like okay,
okay,
and that one gets real annoying. It gets grating on the ears as you go. So I mean, I understand, but hey, let's give the young man a little bit of leeway there. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next is about the time where we turn things over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, man? So Paul Heyman, WWE legend, was going crazy on the Pat McAfee show, and I ain't gonna lie to you, man, I think it's some truth there.
Uh-oh.
Plus Deion Sanders capping about having a little solo fun.
Oh,
if you know what I mean.
All right.
Wow.
That is what we will do next.
Yep. Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yep, it's the mixtape in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. Paul Heyman, he was on the Pat McAfee show. And that brother was wilding, man. He was wilding to the point, I think Pat McAfee was beat red.
Mm-hmm. And he really?
Was, yeah, he was beat red. And this is why. So he was on the Pat McAfee show, and he had this to say. He was just kind of going on a Paul Heyman rant.
Do you care about the opinions of people who are irrelevant? You don't care about the opinions of most people who are very relevant in your life. You don't care about the opinions of the people who pay you. Okay. They sit there and they go, hey, Mr. McAfee, don't talk about Shannon Sharp on the air today. Okay. And you go, I talk about anything I want. I'm Pat McAfee. Right. Watch me swing my
Hey, yo.
Back if you don't talk about your podcast on the air. What do you do? I'm King. Watch me, Pat McAfee. Right?
This is on you. This is about you. Not me. Not me. Accurate stuff.
Why is Heyman just talking about appendages the whole day?
I don't know.
It sounds like, out here swinging your appendage.
It seemed like they was having a backstage conversation or something. Like they was hanging Maybe. Out away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he was beat red. Like he was waving his arms like, no. This is not true.
You know what this feels like? This feels like when you're hating homeboy, see you trying to talk to a lady and he's like, and it, you know, his tone of voice sounds like he's being sincere, but he's being a jerk.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, you get that cream? Because I know you was telling me that you needed that cream. Like, that's what it feels like to be like, why are you hating right now?
You got that antibiotics over there. You still on that penicillin?
And that itch still there for you, dog? Because I know you was talking about that itch.
Well, this is where it kept going. Like, he wasn't done here. So
oh, no, he wasn't.
Apparently, they were hanging out before the show or sometime on the personal time because Paul Heyman had this to say.
Hey, last night when the roast was over and you and I were out back and you're going, why is that? By the way, it's puff, puff, pass, not puff, 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 chase down the gummy, puff, 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 hey, puff, no. pass.
That's a lot of business out there. That's a lot of business being put out there.
So right now, are you believing Paul Heyman or you think this is all cap?
Oh, I believe
so far.
I mean, they
now he's a great salesman, but
they're coworkers.
Yeah,
and one of the things about coworkers is that you know sometimes stuff goes around, and I do wonder if he just got an opportunity to let his mouth run a little bit in this particular venue, and he just lets things go. Because yeah. I mean, what are we saying here that maybe Pat McAfee does not actually listen to or trust the or value the opinions of all those people, including his bosses? Because I would say that probably feels like that's true.
It sounds like he was back there just giving it up. Like, man, this company ain't going to be none without me, and they got to do this when it comes to me.
And then also the idea that maybe Pat McAfee might engage in some extracurricular activities in regards to the marijuana.
I can see that.
These all seem viable.
Yeah.
They're all viable.
Let me see if this is viable right here. Here's some more from Paul Heyman giving it up. And Pat McAfee is beat red.
Right? And you're the wise man. You know Stephen A. Smith really sucks, right? And I go, I love Stephen A. The man calls me the GOAT. The man, Stephen A. Smith, is on the air saying if there's one person in the universe that I, Stephen A. Smith, at $70 billion a year, want to be, it's the wise man, Paul Heyman. And you sit there and you go, these ESPN bastards give me the same money as him or this.
No, that's not true. None of that's true.
That does feel like hating. He is. That feels like he's absolutely setting.
So you think this part is cap?
I think he's setting him up.
The first two, I believe. That one, not so much. But I, as I'm listening to these, I just go back to, you know, what did you think he was going to do? like just because you're like boys off the air and he's kind of maybe even just sort of laid back and just hanging out. When the lights come on and the camera and the mic is in his hand, what do you think he's going to do?
I don't know.
I ain't gonna lie to y'all, man. I 100% believe this, man.
Yes.
Because people like I feel like our station is probably the only station where we all are boys. Mm-hmm. Like we are all good. There's no drama behind the scenes and nothing like that. We had a good time at Radio Row. Mm-hmm. But
what are you saying by saying ours is the only one? You saying there's some drama out there?
No, not.
You want to disclose some things?
A lot of places does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot of places are, you know, they might work together, but they are not friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't hang out outside. I feel like Pat McAfee was just giving it. He probably was high. Mm-hmm. He was just speaking what he wanted to say. I feel like he was low key giving it up.
Yeah,
it's possible.
And did not know Paul Heyman's going to jump on the show and give all of this up.
Actually, the more I think about it, the more it definitely feels like Paul Heyman was just like, "I'm gonna be a jerk to you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say a whole bunch of wild stuff on live TV and just see what it does for you."
That brother was man.
He's like, "I'm going to light a grenade. I'm gonna drop it here for you.
No, like this ain't true.
And I'm gonna
walk away. Not true." But I can 100% because Pat McAfee, he's making a lot of money at ESPN. So I can see him being like, man, this guy making this much?
Mm-hmm.
I can make more than that. Like, that guy sucks. I can 100% see that.
When's the next time Paul Heyman is going to be on the show?
I will probably say
WrestleMania next year,
yeah, or probably around never o'clock.
Yeah,
that might have been his last appearance.
Yeah, because that might leave a mark now.
Yeah, or at least I wonder if Stephen A. gonna say something about this.
Pat's fine
if he gonna go on his YouTube and
no, Pat's fine, something. But it's gonna leave a mark, and he probably won't forget.
Yeah. Yep, it's the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Deion Sanders, we all know Deion Sanders. Mm-hmm. But did y'all know he was a host of this show with Roxy, who used to be on 106 in Park?
It's on Tubi. Is it on Tubi or whatever?
It's on Tubi. It's called We Got Time Today.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently they was having a conversation. I forgot who else was on this show at the time as a guest. But apparently... Deion didn't watch any X-rated videos and questioned, I guess the question was asked, how do you get yourself in the mood? How do you pleasure yourself?
Oh, wow.
And, they were like, this was not the Colorado post game.
Yeah.
they're having very different conversations.
It was like a bunch of women on the show, and then it was that kind of popped up. And he said he don't watch any of that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, wait,
bull junk.
How do you? It said, that's exactly what he said. Yeah.
I see what you did there.
But they asked her, how do you get in that mode to have a good time with yourself? And this is how this conversation went.
No, I don't do
what
that.
What be in your head, since you don't watch it, what be in your head when you pleasure yourself?
I don't pleasure myself. I've never in my life pleasure.
In your life.
Never in my life.
All your life.
It's a studio audience? Damn, there's a lot of people in there.
Why do I
really believe them?
Okay, now see, my next statement gonna sound arrogant.
What is it?
I never had.
Oh.
Y'all think he capping on this?
Come on.
And I knew he was going to say, oh, I never had to. Yeah. I could just call anybody up.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably could.
So, ever in his life, though.
When he was 12.
He said ever in his life.
Come on. Why are we even asking this question?
Because Deion, man. Just the people going.
Get out of here.
That's.
Why are you even thinking about it?
What?
Of course he has.
Because I don't want to think about that. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a good reason.
He's too old to be capping about this, man.
But well, he is.
Like, we is not but in middle school.
I don't know if he's capping or not. The thing, regardless of now, okay, I feel you. And I understand where you're coming from. Regardless or not of whether he has or not, I think he's too old to be like so adamant about it one way or another. Like, that reminds me of a Hannibal Buress joke. Where he talks about how, you know, teenagers are not developed enough yet to be comfortable with the fact that they do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he would upset his little cousin by just accusing him of doing that. He's like, no, I don't, Hannibal. And that's what Deion sounded like. He's like, no, I've never,
well,
not
he is
once.
Kind of a child sometimes.
But I was just like, you at your biggest age, at your big age, you're like, no, I've mm-hmm. never done. I'm like, you could just be like, I haven't, but I mean, whether y'all believe it or not, it's cool. Like, that's how I would have imagined Deion to play it until I heard that audio.
And honestly, I feel like I feel like you got to get to, let's say he's telling the truth. Like, honestly, he should just say, yeah, I did it a couple times when I was a teenager.
Well, you don't have to lie. Yeah. I feel like if you have it, you can stand on that, but I don't think you have to go so hard about it.
But they would have went right past it. It wouldn't even been probably a clip going around about this. But for the simple fact, I never did it in my life. Like, no, I never had. It's just like, man, come on, man. Now people got more questions.
Yes.
Than if you just say, yeah, I did it a couple times, like a normal person.
What do you think goes through the players' heads when this comes across their timeline?
I don't think they're surprised at all. I think he's had a life now.
He's done
a bunch of stuff.
And I guess having the life is kind of is somewhat of the appeal. I just got to imagine there's some people that are like, You don't have to deal this when you go to Nebraska. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
ain't nobody asking what was it, Matt Rhule?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Have you ever? It's just like, nah, that's not any news that you ever have to know about your coach.
Yeah.
Well, Matt Rhule ain't hosting the show called We Got Time Today with Roxy 106 in Parts. So.
Which, by the way, the idea of having time as a college football coach is kind of incredible. Not just in general, right? Because mm-hmm. coaches love to talk about how they sleep in their office and all this and out on the recruiting trail. But also, in the modern iteration of college football, where not only are you recruiting other people, you're recruiting your own players, you're recruiting the rest of the NCAA. You got all this stuff happening.
You're trying to get to know your players and build relationships.
Oh, man, got a whole extra TV show that he does on the side, where he claims to have never done that. God bless.
All right, it's the mixtape in the Lou Sports Radio 610. I'll get y'all out of here on this. So I want to ask Lopez, because you got kids.
Mm-hmm.
When was the first time you ever heard your kids cuss?
Oh, I remember the first time the oldest one did.
Oh.
Yeah.
What happened? Where?
4-year-old birthday party.
4-year? Oh,
the best place to do this.
Wait, was he 4?
He was four, and it was a 4-year-old's birthday party.
Which I can imagine, because they all just become parrots, and they all want to say the word, too.
Well.
Yes?
So someone had the idea of playing duck, duck, goose.
Oh, yeah.
So he stands up, and he starts tapping all these kids on the head, except he's not saying duck.
Oh.
He's going bleep, 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 goose.
Yeah.
And we're just standing in the corner, because it wasn't at our house. It was another, we're there, and just sort of like, we probably, we got a thing in about an hour. We probably need to go ahead and get going here.
Yep. But the problem is the damage is already done. Everybody look at y'all like terrible parents. Y'all be staying at the house, huh? Y'all be staying at the house?
So if you could go back in time, would you give your kid a pass to cuss when it's like playing on the court or playing video games? You gave them a pass?
I did, absolutely. Okay. Probably starting in middle school. When they were youth leagues, there was none of that. But once you get on your middle school team and you hear them at practice and stuff, I didn't have that's part of the almost culture, in a sense.
I've seen kind of different people handle this differently, and I appreciate, especially the people that are like, look, I understand, you can say it, but you got to know the circumstances.
Yes.
One of those circumstances, I'm sorry, is going to be real traditional. Don't y'all be cussing around me. Show me some respect. Right. Yeah.
I'm talking about like on the basketball court other kids.
But I feel like
I didn't have a problem.
I don't even know how much this is cultural, but maybe this is just kind of a Southern thing or what have you. But like, just the natural inclination to be like, you can do whatever that cussing is. To this day, you get around your mom or whatever,
you mute.
It just can't be that.
Yeah. No. I was talking about like on the court.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. So apparently Savannah James, the wife of LeBron James, kind of side with you with this. So she gives her sons a pass to cuss while playing basketball.
Yeah.
So while she was doing her podcast, she got a random call from a listener. And as if it was crazy that his mom yells at him for cussing while playing video games. And just pay attention to see if you could kind of recognize a voice. I think she recognized this voice very well.
Where are you from and what's your crazy?
My name is Daryl. I'm from Atlanta. My crazy is, I'm 17 years old and I'd be playing the video game. And I'd be cussing, screaming, banging the desk. And my mom come in and like starts yelling at me. So I just want to know if you think that's crazy.
I think it's crazy because I can hear my sons through the walls as well. And I did this rule with my sons. This is Savannah. They play basketball and I gave them the you can cuss on the court rule. I guess I got to translate that to you can cuss when you're on the game too, because the obscenities that fly out of their mouths through my closet wall is crazy.
To be honest, Mom, I don't even think that's crazy at all.
See, there you go.
Wait, Bryce?
What? Old Bryce called in.
That's awesome.
I remember when that came out. It was very funny.
Yeah.
But the only thing about it is like, we just got to make this a cuss during the game. Y'all better not be banging on the door and on the that was the thing. He was my mom be mad when I be banging on the wall and stuff. She better? What you mean banging on the wall?
Yeah.
Cussing is one thing. Doing all this hooting and hollering, banging on the walls.
I don't think my parents would ever give me a pass to cuss. Like,
not I no had circumstance.
I had I had to cuss away from like my parents.
Oh, me too.
Like, it builds character. Yeah. You got to find the right circumstances where you can let it. You got to be able to check the surroundings, make sure you're good, and then let out a few words.
And to get to a point where you cold with it, where you ain't got to cuss, you could use all the stuff without cussing.
Yeah.
Like, you could be like, dang. Mm-hmm. Put that G on the end.
Yeah.
You ain't hear it. I said, dang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was, my house, no way, no how. But you're playing ball, man. It's just
That my mother ain't trying to hear that.
What you mean you playing ball?
She want a clean ball game.
Yeah,
man.
Get that ethical hoop on.
You can play without cussing.
You don't need to cuss nobody. Yeah. Be a good sport and get yourself off that court.
Yeah, you know what, Mom? Just don't come around when I'm playing basketball.
That's exactly right.
All right, there you go. That's Figgy's mixtape. You catch it at 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at the Figgy Fig on social media. If you see something that you believe to be mixtape worthy, go ahead and send it his way. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to the fellas of the Drive, Clint and Ron, see what they've got going. But also, we're two sleeps away from the NFL draft. Have you ever wondered how that iconic NFL draft sound came to be? I saw a little information
Figgy's
about
favorite?
It. Yes, I'll detail some of that next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Much appreciation to all the folks who have been a part of this one. B. Scott, jumping in the 11 o'clock hour. And appreciation to you fine fellas and all the other folks who have rocked with this, especially on this particular day, because a lot of you have shown a lot of love to me personally. It means a lot to me, especially if you've taken my request, I was about to say, to maybe put a little something if you got it on the Houston Food Bank or the Houston Area Women's Center. I appreciate you doing that to continue to help other Houstonians on a day like today. All right. Draft, couple days away, at least the first round of such. And there's something that's become very identifiable in this draft where you hear it and you know exactly what time it is. And there's a good reason for why it is. What does that sound, Figgy? So The Athletic actually put together an interesting story behind this sound and how it came to be. And it wasn't something that was just stumbled upon. You, Lopez, you threw out a guess on who you thought might be behind it, because he's behind another one of like the most famous sounds that you've ever heard.
John Tesh.
John Tesh.
I thought that might be a John Tesh.
It is not John Tesh. Yeah. John Tesh made Round Ball Rock, the NBA on NBC theme that people are very fond of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Did a couple of Olympic themes.
Did he? I never remember the Olympic
themes. He did two or three in the 90s. He did the Olympic song for the network. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. Yeah, he did that. Yeah.
All right. So not John Tesh, but in this instance, it's a composer, Bob Christensen, who, if you're looking for other sounds, mm-hmm. he did the CBS March Madness intro. Mm-hmm. He's done ESPN's NHL theme as well. So he's behind some of those things as well. So how this came to be, funny enough, the idea that they needed or that they took one, had one, is something that in some ways happen, I guess not necessarily accidentally, but without as much thought as you might consider. So ESPN, in the early 2000s, as mm-hmm. The draft became more important for television, mm-hmm. because I think, Figgy, we were talking about it earlier today, where you were saying you go back, you watch some of those old ones, and it just wasn't a TV show the way that it is now.
No, it was bad. God bless Paul, who was doing pretty much what Roger Goodell is doing, the mm-hmm. old commissioner.
Tagliabue?
Yeah, that dude was up there freestyling like, with the 8th pick of the draft, the New England Patriots select. He was just, he wasn't polished or nothing, man. Yeah. I'm like, dang, he sound all dry.
So there was something that was happening, and it really came from later rounds, like mm-hmm. obviously what would be the equivalent of day three now, of course, before they split this up as far. But when it came to the later rounds and the picks come more quickly, the broadcast can't coach cut to the podium every time. And Steve Ackles, who at that point he was a production assistant, he's now mm-hmm. advanced to like a VP of production and all this at ESPN. He was like, you know, it needs something, right? It needs something so that you know as a marker for a pick to let the audience know to pay attention. Mm-hmm. So the pitch landed with ESPN in the creative situation. And they were thinking what they were trying to get to a place was get something that mimicked mm-hmm. the SportsCenter news alerts sound. So you're used to on SportsCenter when there's some news that comes around, it might sound like this. And you know exactly what that means, right? When SportsCenter was on and you heard that, you were like, oh, so there's some news that I need to look up and check for. So that's what they were trying to mimic. They were like, what can we have that does that? The second goal was to sound like the New York Stock Exchange, which I think we all know. It's just a bell. But mm-hmm. the idea is just like it's something that you know exactly what it is and what calls to. So that was ultimately what led them, what was the inspiration to get to the pick that we are, the sound that we all know for a draft pick, which is.
I wonder how long it took them to come up.
This right here.
Yeah. How long do you think it took them, does it say, like to land on that?
It's
like the most identifiable thing. I mean.
It's interesting because originally they thought that it would only be used in the later rounds, but then eventually they figured you could use it all the time. I don't know that it doesn't really give me some detail. It says that they had 15 to 20 variations of the chimes. I don't have time frame because I'm not sure exactly if that's what you were looking for, like how long of a time or how many iterations, but 15 to 20 iterations, different length, speed, octave. They ultimately got to what they got to here. And the interesting thing is the first year that it was utilized was 2006.
That recently? Well, it's not that recent, but I mean, it seems like it's been around forever.
Doesn't years in the aughts make you feel old? Because you're like, oh, yeah, that was just a little while ago. Yeah, 2006 was 20, was what, 19 years ago?
Yeah, which is still not that long in the grand scheme. I thought it was longer than that. But
yeah, but when you think about 2006, you kind of felt like the draft was a little bit polished then.
And now it's entirely different.
Damn, they weren't even using the little ringer or the little thing.
The little sounder.
So that sounder, in theory, was
the Mario draft.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, let's see if Lopez draws it out. It's the Mario draft.
Yeah.
But if you go back and watch 06, you will not hear that sound for when Mario Edwards
until
is drafted.
Until the later rounds?
Not until the eighth pick.
It was the eighth pick. It was Dante Whitner.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And nobody has a good reason as to why you didn't hear the sound until that point, because they were supposed to use it for the entirety of the draft. Like I said, the first idea was to just use it for the later rounds when you weren't sure about, you know, the draft pick. But everybody's paying attention in the early parts of the first round. In theory, it was supposed to be used from the start. I guess they just got caught up, and then they were like, hey, I guess around the eighth pick, they were like, oh, yeah, that's right. You remember the sound thing?
Oh, you know, let's we get have that a sounder for this, don't we? Yeah, we do. Well, let's go ahead and play it now.
Yeah. I can relate to that. Be like, oh, let's play that. Oh, I forgot we had that little sound. Let's play it.
Yes. So there you go. Yeah, that is a
it's
quick.
It's Figgy's favorite, right?
Yeah. That's one of them. Yeah. That one put me in a good mood. We're just like, uh-oh, the draft coming up.
And you'll hear it a lot. You hear it a lot. Come Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is the 2025 NFL draft represents what? That'd be the 20th instance of the NFL draft using those iconic chimes that you've gotten used to hearing. And it really only happened because somebody was like, hey, man, I'm trying to put the draft on in the background, but I want to know what's happening.
When the pick is in.
Yeah. And so, yeah. When 25 comes around, or you know wherever else the Texans come up, you have that again. salute to the Athletic. It was Jaina Bartle who put that together. I was like, that's deeply interesting. I found that to be interesting about something that we all know is there, but we never really knew how it came to be. All right, we appreciate all the fine folks who have been with us on the show, including Sally Sheehan on the YouTube page. Donate to the Houston Area Women's Center.
All right.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Another one.
Thank you.